Father, as we open the scriptures to this passage of scripture that is hard on our ears to hear, may we have the insight and wisdom, the providential knowledge you put within our minds and hearts to see what you are actually doing. This is not a matter of wrath, but it is a matter of grace. Concerning the trumpet judgments, and we want to highlight that in our memories today so that we don't get confused. Every time you literally spank your children or spank the world in terms of natural disasters, there's a lesson to be learned. And we want to be vocal to our non-Christian friends about those lessons so that you get the glory and people will repent of their sins and turn to you as the only God who can save them for all of eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Silence. An amazing silence in heaven. For millennia before time began, the angels, the billions of angels who were there were singing out in glory and amazing harmony and sounds we probably could never possibly imagine. And the four living creatures and the 24 elders surrounding the throne for millennia have been praising God. And all of a sudden, all of that praise stops. There's absolute silence in heaven. You can hear a pin drop. Why? Why would the worship and praise cease unless something amazing is about to happen, something so shocking to the angels who've seen it all, are literally amazed at what is about to happen. They've never seen anything like this. Perhaps a flood similar in Noah's day, but nothing like this has ever happened to this planet and to the people on this planet. I mentioned spanking in my prayer because that's what God is doing. God is bringing an awareness through disasters to the world so that they will recognize God is the one doing this. God is trying to get your attention. Please wake up and repent of your sins. Does that mean? No, it's grace. It is all God's grace. Take a look. Verses 1 and 2, the breaking of the seventh seal. In the silence, the corresponding silence in heaven when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Take a look at my notes. The final chapter of the overview of the tribulation is read. The seventh seal is broken. The final pages of the parchment are read as about what's going to happen in the trumpet judgments and in the bowl judgments. When that's read, there is this silence, hushed silence for 30 minutes. The significance of the silence is profound. Since there has not ceased to be continual praise from the angels in heaven since the beginning of time, before time began. And I say perhaps the events described by the trumpet judgments are so uniquely severe and universal in their scope as to leave the angels, who've seen it all, breathless and speechless. You see in the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2:20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Or the psalm that says, be still and know that I am God. Look at what I'm about to do. Zephaniah 1:7, the day of the Lord is near. Be silent before the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests to see what he's about to do on the day of the Lord, the bowl judgments. Zechariah 2:13, just a few verses later, "Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling." Have that type of awesome fear before the Lord that you are speechless, your mouth is closed, still before God. Well, John sees, quote, the seven angels, meaning these are a specific group of angels who have been standing before God for at least 6,000 years. That was their assignment. Stand there, wait until you get your assignment. Since the perfect tense in Greek means ongoing activity, they've been doing this now for a long, long, long time. And they've been waiting patiently for their specific assignment, which is to blow the trumpets of judgment. And so they're each handed a trumpet to blow. Trumpet blowing in the Hebrew culture has various uses, such as announcing a feast or calling soldiers to war or when a king is anointed. But here, as in the verse following, Amos 3:6, it is to announce an impending disaster or judgment from God. Amos 3:6, "Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid?" They should be. Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? Purpose of announcing by trumpet judgment there is to announce a disaster fast approaching. Verses 3 through 5, "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with fire from the altar and threw it then on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake." And so the purpose of the incense in the Old Testament, there in the temple, the altar of incense, was to make the prayers of the Hebrew saints ascending to God more pleasing to God, by adding a sweet-smelling fragrance to the prayers, which went up to heaven, much like the smoke of the incense on the altar of incense drifted upwards to God. Beautiful picture, making our prayers sweet-smelling to God. The prayers that have been supercharged now with this divine incense are prayers for divine vengeance for his glory. Prayers have been going on for many, many years. So all the injustices that have been inflicted upon God's people from Genesis 2 all the way through Revelation 19 will now be rectified in the trumpet and bowl judgments. But first, before the injustices will be rectified, most will be rectified in hell, of course, there's one last chance for repentance. And of anything I say to this morning, that is so key. Underline that, star that if you would. There's one last chance for repentance, because that's what the trumpet judgments are all about. There are warnings from God that time is short and repentance is needed. So a gracious gift of God to the world saying, "I'm coming. Learn these lessons. I'm squeezing you into suffering, so therefore repent of your sins and get ready to meet your God." The fire from the altar produces peals of thunder, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Evidently, these phenomena will be universal and historically severe and are intended as the first warning call of God's wrath to come. And so the angels prepared to blow their trumpets. Verse 6, "Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them." Commentators don't know what that means, nor do I know what that means. We're not sure what preparation angels need to make to blow a trumpet of judgment, but evidently there is a need to prepare themselves. And here's my best guess, perhaps emotionally. Prepare themselves emotionally because of the severity of that which their trumpet blast then releases, knowing that their blowing the trumpet begins that disaster upon the earth. Verse 7, trumpet number 1, "The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, And these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So the first trumpet judgment brings a torrent of hail, typical judgment of God in the Old Testament. Not unusual for him to use that to punish his people and get them to repent. It also includes fire, remember Sodom and Gomorrah, or perhaps volcanoes erupting around the earth, and blood mixed in with the hail and fire. You know, it's tempting for me when I study this to take the reference to blood here as figurative, but, you know, when you include it with hail, which is literal, fire, literal, then the blood must also be literal. It wouldn't be a figure of speech if it's in the same context. So there will be blood. Don't know how that's possible, but there will be blood mixed with hail and fire to poison the earth. So a third of all vegetation is destroyed through these disasters. The ramifications are huge, 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 huge. Number one, a third of the trees means a third less fruit, a third less wood for fuel or for building, a third less oxygen produced by those trees. A third of the grass, or all the grass, means less grains for food, less oxygen as well. Imagine firefighters trying to fight forest fires that are consuming a third of the forest in all the world. They will not be able to contain it. Verses 8 to 9, trumpet number 2, the second angel blew his trumpet. Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, literal blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died then, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So perhaps a large asteroid, or I think even more likely a smaller but large meteor, is directed by God to hit the ocean as a result of both of its size, which caused a huge tidal wave, and its poisonous contents, which turns a third of the sea into blood. Both a third of all ships will sink, and a third of all sea life will die as a result. A lot of movies Hollywood tries to make about disasters at sea, like The Perfect Storm, or now the one about the Coast Guard, Their Finest Hour. That's Hollywood's version of a violent sea, just kind of expand that, multiply that to the reality of this 10 to 100 times worse than anything Hollywood could ever create. And you can see in your mind's eye just how horrible that would be. Imagine the smell also along the seacoast of billions of fish, thousands of whales rotting, the stench in your nostrils on the beaches of the world, the pollution, the disease. Much of the world's diet, of course, is seafood. So there'll be an extreme shortage of food for the billions who depend on it every day to survive. Essential raw materials for manufacturing, cut in a third, since all the ships need to transport those raw materials, will be now on the ocean floor. Verses 10 and 11, trumpet number 3. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood. Many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. So remember now that a star in biblical times, even John's time, is any cosmic body. So this will not be a literal star in the sense that we know our sun is a star. That would be impossible, because our earth is too small compared to a star. But instead it would be a falling star or a meteor that will crash to earth and poison a third of the earth's fresh water. It's not hard to imagine how God could do this, a giant meteor breaking up the atmosphere, landing on different continents, different places, poisoning different water sources. The star itself is not named Wormwood as a star named by God the Father, who has names for all the stars, but I believe it's named Wormwood by the inhabitants of the earth for what it did to the water supplies. They're going to call it Wormwood when it finally comes. Wormwood is mentioned 5 times in the Old Testament and refers to a medicinal herb. It's so bitter that it removed intestinal worms. That's how they got rid of them. Hence the name Wormwood, got rid of the worms, metaphor for the bitterness of heart and the poison to the soul. People will be so thirsty in those days for fresh water that they will knowingly drink the same water they've always been drinking before, but now they know it's poisonous. And they're going to do it anyway. Thirst will bring them to the point where they're going to drink poison, much like shipwrecked sailors drink seawater to sate their thirst, even though they know it will kill them. Trumpet number 4, verse 12, the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so the third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. And so I see atmospheric pollution caused by the earthquakes, the meteors hitting the earth, not just the ocean, but the lands as well, creating this huge disturbance. Atmospheric pollution, most likely reason why the sunlight will be reduced by a third. And losing sunlight, of course, will be devastating to farmers. How can they grow their crops without sunlight, creating a huge, huge food shortage? It'll also be a sign of God's judgment, for every description of the coming wrath of God includes darkness and gloom in the Old Testament. Now, calculating these trumpet judgments out, they're going to happen at midpoint in the tribulation. So the Daniel 70th week has started over here with a covenant made with Israel by the Antichrist. And then the middle of that tribulation, the abomination of desolation is set up in Jerusalem. So his image is put up in the temple. I think these trumpet judgments happen and begin then. And for the people who have not taken the mark of the beast, every one of these trumpet judgments is a warning. Turn to me, turn to God, change your ways. And so if you just kind of space them out, we've got 6 of them coming up here, 4 today, and a couple more coming soon. And then the 7th trumpet would be the rapture of the saints. So spacing them out in 6s, that mean 1 every 8 months. So for 8 months, each one of these trumpets happening, giving people plenty of time to repent. Let me summarize these first 4 trumpets before we get into the next, numbers 5, 6, and 7. Number 1, man thinks, this is so typical, he is so self-sufficient, so prideful, that he does not need God. You'll hear that everywhere. But the truly rational man, the one who is able to think things through, especially the wise farmer who lives so close to the land, knows how dependent he is on God to provide fresh water for his crops and sunshine to make his crops grow. It's amazing how much it would cost to light your crops if you had just one field, 1 acre to grow, and try to grow that artificially, it would cost you millions of dollars. And this is God's goodness to mankind. So, since mankind has rejected God's authority for their own glory instead, God is systematically taking away, one by one, that which is so necessary for their survival day by day. Taking away the water, taking away the sunshine. Number 2, since mankind has rejected drinking the living water, our Lord Jesus Christ, God is taking away their fresh water. And since they refuse to turn their eyes to the light of the world for their hope and truth, God's taking away their sunshine, turning their days to darkness like they want spiritually. They want to live in spiritual darkness. And again, the most important point, every trumpet judgment is an act of grace. God's goodness to non-believers, to the unsaved, to bring non-believers to repentance. Consider these Old Testament passages. Consider back in the book of Exodus what God did with the plagues in Egypt. He was not just rescuing Israel out of bondage, bringing them to freedom. He cared about the Egyptians as well. He wanted them to turn to him as the only God and to repent and find salvation. He cares about all peoples, all nationalities, all ethnic groups. Take a look at what God said out of his mouth. Exodus chapter 9, verses 14 through 16. For this time, God saying through Moses to Pharaoh, I will send all my plagues on you yourself, Pharaoh, and on your servants, Pharaoh, and your people, Pharaoh, so that you may know. Here's the point of the plagues. So that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Your gods can't save you. Only I can. For by now, if I'd wanted to, God said, I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence. No big deal. The millions in Egypt, I could have just snapped my fingers, said the word, you'd have all been dead. I didn't do that. I could have done that. And you would have been cut off from the earth, no longer to exist as a nation. But I didn't. For this purpose, I have raised you up and been patient with you. To show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. That you would turn to me and I would get the glory. God is even more specific in Amos chapter 4, talking to Israel. He says this to unrepentant Israel, to sinful, rebellious Israel. I gave you, God said, cleanness of teeth. In all your cities, I took your food away from you, and lack of bread in all your places, but yet you did not return to me. That was the point of the famine I sent to you, to wake you up, to get you to repent. I also withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, when you needed the most. I kept the rain back. But even more specific, God says, I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. I was being that specific in my blessing at that time to show you I can do this. That city over there is more godly. They've been loving me more than you. You've been worshiping Baal, so I'm going to bless them and curse you. I've been doing that. But you haven't responded. Not only that, not only on city, but I'm going to get even more particular from farmer to farmer, and I can do it on this field on which it did not rain would wither, and another field would have rain from one field to the other. Imagine that. One farmer would get it, and another farmer would not. Amazing. So two or three cities would wander to another city to drink water because that city had it and this city didn't. And would not be satisfied, even though they went there to get it. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. The whole point was to bring about repentance. I struck you with blight and mildew. Your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees, your olive trees, I let the locusts devour. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with a sword and carried away your horses. And I made the stench of your camp go up into my nostrils. Even in the midst of defeat, military defeat, still you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a brand plucked out of the burning, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. All the disasters, act of grace. God's warning to cause people to repent. Verse 13, then I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. If you thought trumpet 1, 2, 3, and 4 were bad, wait till 5, 6, and 7. This could be an actual eagle, given speaking abilities, much like Balaam's ass was, being able to speak to Balaam, but more likely it's an angel that's flying like an eagle, pronouncing the warning. The next three trumpet judgments are much, much more severe than the first four. Another warning by God through this angel to people that it's a gracious gift of God to unbelievers. Repent while there still is time. Let's take a look at application, going back to the prayers that were offered up in the incense. God listening to the prayers, taking the prayers of his people, hurtling them down to earth to begin the series of judgments upon the world. Our prayers have power. And so are we taking advantage of their effectiveness? Are we praying for revival? Are we praying for God to bring people to Christ by name, by city, by county? Our prayers have power. Number two, this is hard because people don't want to hear it. We need to be honest. We need to be honest when speaking to people about God's control of nature and his use of storms like Katrina or Sandy to bring about repentance. We already read all about that in Amos chapter 4. People say, well, how can that hurricane or monsoon or the tidal waves in the Philippines, how can there be a good God if he allows these things to happen? The answer is, what do we deserve? What is it that we deserve? As human beings, because of our rebellion against God, we deserve death. So they're getting no more than what they deserve anyway, but it's a warning to everyone else on the islands or here in America, repent while you still have time. Number three, we need to remember, I think this is so significant, the sufferings of persecuted saints every day in our prayers, pleading to the Father in heaven to give them strength, grace, and faith to endure. And maybe when it's our turn to endure, they will be praying for us, possibly from heaven above. Possibly. Jim, come please and close our time in prayer. As we think about these marvelous truths and God's grace. Yes, we have one more song. Indeed we do. Come worship team.